Okay, this is Kurt Asher. I'm interviewing Red Simpson at his home at 4324 Sable in the Royal Palms Mobile Park at 9 a.m. on Thursday, November 20th. And Red, could you state and spell your name for me, please?
Spell my name, R-E-D-S-I-M-P-S-O-N.
Is Red your real name?
My real name is Joe.
Joe? Okay. How come they call you Red?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to go out in the, when I was picking cotton, I'd go out in the cotton truck, and they got to call me, because I had red hair then.
Oh, red hair. Okay. I see.
They called me Little Red Simpson.
I see. Okay.
It stuck with me.
So, where and when were you born, Red?
I was born in Higley, Arizona, 1934.
Okay. And when did you move to Bakersfield?
1935. Okay. My folks migrated out here from Louisiana and Georgia, and they were all over the place. They had 13 kids.
13 kids. I was just going to ask you if you came from a big family, so I guess that answers it.
We learned to eat beans and cornbread and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Can you describe what it was like growing up in Bakersfield in the 30s and 40s?
It was hot.
It was hot.
And dusty, dirty. Yeah. Alkali dirt everywhere. Everywhere you walked, there was alkali dirt. And if you didn't have no shoes on, it'd come right up through your toes, and just like powder, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Uh-huh. Now, did you work in the fields and things there?
I'm picking cotton and potatoes and peaches and grapes and whatever was available. Mm-hmm. And then I got guitar sickness, and I decided I want to play a guitar. Pick a guitar instead of picking cotton.
And so, how old were you when you picked up the guitar?
I must have been 12, 13 years old, maybe. Yeah. Maybe a little younger. My dad played a banjo, and I had two sisters that played guitar and sang harmony. And my grandpa was a fiddle player. And all musical family there, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's great. So, with the 13 kids, were they all, you said there's a musical family. What else did you guys do for jobs and things around here?
We just worked a lot. Mm-hmm.
Was your dad a farmer, or what did he do?
No, he was a farm laborer.
Farm labor.
Okay. Irrigated cotton, potatoes, all kind of stuff.
Yeah. So what else was, can you tell me any more about the town of Bakersfield and what it was like being here in the 30s and 40s? You remember anything else?
Well, I shined shoes.
Did you? Where, what part of town?
All over Bakersfield. Yeah. And sold papers when I was a kid, ride a bicycle to town and make enough money to go to show. And
oh, yeah. So how did you learn to play the piano and guitar? You play the piano, don't you?
Yeah.
And the guitar? And do you play any other instruments?
I used to play a fiddle, but I've had a light stroke. And
oh, I see.
I can't play it anymore. I can't hardly play guitar anymore, but I still play the keyboard. I use it out at Trout's every Monday.
Okay. How'd you learn to play those? Just picked them up and started playing? Or
I used to go around to these places, old dances, on like Rainbow Gardens on Saturday night or Beardsley Ballroom. Uh-huh. And I'd bug these guitar players, show me this chord here, I ain't getting it right. So Tommy Hayes was one of them. I remember him growing up, and Tommy was a great guitar player, and he helped me a lot on guitar, him and Bill Woods and Buck Owens and a whole bunch of young people.
Well, what's the story on that? How did you get to know those guys or go end up in those clubs?
My brother, Buster, played in bass fiddle for Bill Wood's band, mm-hmm. Orange Blossom Playboys. Mm-hmm. And I met him through him, and I got to knowing him and everything, and I said, you got to have to help me a little bit here, because I don't remember all this. But they did. I had a lot of help, friends.
How old were you when you started doing that?
About 13, 14, maybe.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah. So, did you learn how to read music and write songs?
I tried to, but it messed me up so bad I had to quit.
Why is that? What do you mean?
Well, I couldn't play.
Oh.
I never did learn to read music real good.
But do you still wrote your own songs, right?
Oh yeah, I wrote a lot of songs, and the chords and everything I knew from previous experience. You know?
I see. Okay. So I guess this is kind of an obvious question, but how did you get interested in performing country music as opposed to rock?
I was raised here in Bakersfield.
Yeah. And that was all they played, right?
Yeah, they was 14, 15 nightclubs going every weekend somewhere, or every week somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of jobs, and of course I never did get a job till I got 21. I wasn't old enough to get in. I joined the Navy when I was 17. Mm-hmm. And just stuck with it.
Yeah. So what was it like? You mentioned it a couple of times. In the 50s in Bakersfield, there was a big music scene here. And do you remember the clubs and where they were located?
About every one of them.
Yeah.
Blackboards, Lucky Spot, Clover Club, Docks Club.
Where were those mostly located?
Well, the Blackboard was over on Chester Avenue, 3601 Chester Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And Lucky Spot was out on Edison Highway, and so was the Clover Club. I worked there. That was my first job playing piano. I learned to play piano in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a hospital ship.
Oh, really?
And there wasn't no place to go practice piano. They had a piano down on the bottom deck, and I used to go down there and practice piano, because right across the way was the morgue where the soldiers they brought in that died, you know. And I'd just get down there and practice, and never bother nobody.
Well, what war was that? Was Korea?
Korea, yeah. Yeah.
So where was the hospital ship?
Incheon, Korea.
Incheon.
Wow. They're based out of Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
The I remember recruiting officer told me, he said, I can get you close to home if you'd really like to be close to home. I said, yeah, how close? Oh, Long Beach or San Diego. 2 months later, I was in Incheon, Korea. <Yeah.
laughs> That's not too far from, not too close to home, is it?
Uh-uh.
So after you... So I'd like to hear a little more about what the scene was like here in the 50s when if you came into Bakersfield and you wanted to go to a club. Were there a lot of them on Union Avenue or other places?
Yeah, there's a few on Union. I remember one out there called the Roundup Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother Buster played there with Bill Woods, and he played at the Clover Club. And we used to go out there on Saturday night and there in Rainbow Garden, and there, mm-hmm. there was three of them down on Union, Rainbow Gardens, Rhythm Rancho, and Bill Woods had a place down there too on Union.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go out there, this friend of mine, Big Bill Smith, he recorded some of my songs later, and I used to go out there. He was working in the liquor store there.
Mm-hmm.
His dad owned the place, so he could get in there and work in the liquor store. And I used to ride my bicycle out there, and he'd teach me songs, like old songs like Basin Street Blues and some old songs like that. I learned a lot of them from old Big Bill. He was a great singer, too.
Uh-huh. Who were some of the other players around town besides, well, first, why don't you tell me about Bill Woods and how
Bill gave Buck first job he ever had out there at Bill Woods. In fact, I wrote a song about it once called Bill Woods from Bakersfield.
He was a real good guy, wasn't he?
Buck?
No, but well, Bill Woods.
Oh, Bill Woods was a great guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. My favorite hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you said your brother played guitar.
He played big bass, tall bass.
Oh yeah.
And I remember Bill Woods. When I'd come home from the Navy, he'd take me back to the bus station. Sometimes I'd beat him back home.
Oh yeah.
I didn't want to go.
Oh really?
I went to AWOL a few times.
So you were in the Navy for 4 years?
3 years, 3 months.
3 years, 3 months. Uh huh.
when I wasn't in the brig. I'd come home and go AWOL, just so I'd go out to dances where Bill was playing, and they didn't frown on that much. They didn't like it too much.
Right.
One time I did 2 months in the brig up at San Francisco.
Oh, is that right?
For going all over the hill, because I'd come to town, I'd go out where Bill Woods was playing.
Yeah. He was... And what about Buck? You worked with him a lot?
I worked with Buck a whole lot. In fact, I worked at Carnegie Hall with him.
Wow.
And I was opening shows for Buck, and he was recording everything I was writing just about. He really recorded 30 of my songs. And then I'd go down to Capitol with him, Capitol Records, and play rhythm guitar too. Mm-hmm.
So when he was recording a record at Capitol Records, you were...
I was right there, yeah.
Yeah.
I just...
You were backup, you were the guitar player for his...
Yeah, rhythm guitar player.
Rhythm guitar player.
I played a 12-string rhythm.
Uh-huh.
And he had a bass player that worked with him named Doyle Holly. He said, I don't want to play that damn 12-string, Chief, let Red do it. So that's how I got stuck with it.
I see. Did you know Merle Haggard pretty well?
Oh, yes. Merle, yeah. He recorded about 6 or 7 of my songs.
Yeah.
I knew him ever since we were out working. We worked together in clubs together in Ridgecrest and out to Lucky Spot, the Blackboard, all over Fresno. Yeah, I was real good friends with Merle. Still are.
Yeah. And how did you get to know...
Bill Woods?
Yeah, Bill.
I got to know Bill through my brother, Buster. Uh-huh. He played in his band, and that's how I met. One time they come out to the house, I remember, and they had all he had the whole band with him, and they had all these cowboy shirts. And I thought, man, these guys are millionaires. They must be to have all them good-looking cowboy shirts.
Oh, yeah. when I saw you the other day at the Marty Stewart concert, how did you get to know Marty Stewart?
I got through Merle.
Oh, through Merle.
Yeah,
right.
But I met him up in Fresno at a show, and his wife recorded one of my songs too, Connie Smith.
Oh.
Thing called You Don't Have Very Far to Go. In fact, that was one of Merle's first records. And Merle's recorded it 3 different times on 3 albums and 3 singles. And last time I saw him, he said, I'm going to keep recording that Red till it's a hit.
Mm-hmm. Where did most of the musicians that were living in Bakersfield live? Was there any area of town where a lot of musicians lived, or were they just spread all over?
They just spread out all over. Yeah. Wherever you find a good house or something, you know,
uh-huh.
Or a tent.
Yeah.
A lot of people lived in tents back then.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that having a lot of migrants from Oklahoma and places like that helped build the music scene?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's where they all came from.
Yeah, all the musicians and
yeah.
all people listening to the music,
they
too.
They wanted to have a better life than picking cotton, so
uh-huh.
A lot of them studied music pretty good, and that's how a lot of it started.
So why don't you tell me what's the Bakersfield sound, and what distinguishes it from other kinds of country music?
Well... to me, it's nothing. It's just a bunch of musicians playing music.
Uh-huh.
It's, because Nashville was using strings and all kind of voices and stuff. Take Buck, well, Bill Woods. He cut a few records around here, but it was just a fact. But I'd say Bill Woods is the one that started the whole thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Lawton Giles, he's a publisher from Upland, California now. He comes down every once in a while to Bakersfield. In fact, he was down here last Monday night at my show. He got up and did a few songs. He sells books about Bakersfield,
mm-hmm.
and stories about how the music was. They said he gave birth to the Bakersfield sound. Bull.
Oh, yeah. What's your musical style? Do you have any kind of musical style that's unique to you?
Just country.
Country, yeah.
That's about it, yeah. Yeah. Ernest Tubb, Willie Nelson, uh-huh. All of them.
Did you ever meet Ernest Tubb?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got an album he signed for me.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to buy this album at his show, and he come over and he said, "This guy ain't buying nothing. Give it to him free." Yeah. I still got it, too.
Yeah. So, can you kind of trace out your country music career for me, how it started, where it started? You said it started when you were about 13 and closed after meeting some of the guys through your brother. But can you just sort of describe how it went over the course of the next year? It'd take a while to tell that story, but I'd be interested in hearing it.
It just seemed to bloom into big business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The more guys that were playing, the more got recorded on different labels. Like we had Tommy Collins around here, Buck Owens, Merle Haggard. There's a lot more names that I can't remember. And of course, I'm 80 years old now,
mm-hmm.
So ain't doing too bad.
No, that's for sure. So you started playing first in the clubs around here, and where did you go after that? Did you always just play in the clubs around here? I know you had some big hits in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, Truck Driving Man and other songs like that.
Uh-huh.
Can you sort of tell me how you went from there to there? What was the...
Well, I just kept playing around Bakersfield, these clubs and places, and this one steel guitar player, Dusty Rhodes, he took me down to Los Angeles. He got me signed up with Cliffy Stone, manager and publisher. And Cliffy's the one that got me on Capitol Records.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to do some truck driving songs. And I said, well, okay, we'll try it. And the first one I had was Roll Truck Roll. And it was written by Tommy Collins, Bakersfield boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had Hello, I'm a Truck, was written by Bob Stanton, Yakima, Washington. And that's how that got started.
So about what year was Roll Truck Roll come out?
66.
66, yeah.
1966.
Yeah. What was it like hearing yourself on the radio for the first time?
Wow. It was funny at first, and I thought, that's me. And I got to, kept recording, and Cliffy had Ken Nelson. He was an A&R man at Capitol Records. He had him call me one day. Said, I think it was on a Friday, and he called me and he said, this was Ken Nelson, the big wig at Capitol. He said, can you come down here Monday? I said, yeah, what for? He said, I want to sign you up on Capitol. It took 2 hours to get down there. I said, I'll be there an hour and a half, man.
Yeah. So then I guess the radio and the television, they had a big part in the development of West Coast country music. Did you ever play on TV, or did you have some?
Oh, yeah, I played a lot on television.
What are some of the shows you played on?
I played around Bakersfield, Cousin Herb's.
Uh-huh. What was in the, what, 50s?
Yeah, 50s, 60s. And I think he died in the 70s. Uh-huh. I can't remember now. But
what was his last name again?
Cousin Herb Henson.
Oh, Cousin Herb Henson, okay.
Cousin Herb's Trading Post was the name of it.
Mm-hmm. And that was a local TV show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had all kind of guest stars on it, big people from all over the country. Merle Travis and... He had part of Bonanza's bunch on there, Dan Blocker and
oh, really?
Michael Landon, all of them. Mm-hmm. I got to know all of them. They're pretty good boys.
Are they? You've gotten to meet a lot of people, famous people over the years. Including,
I sure have.
What other shows were you on besides, other TV shows were you on besides the Cousin Henson?
I was on a Dick Clark thing. I can't remember what it was called, Bandstand or some darn it, but that's when I had record. It wasn't on Capitol or anything. It was a different label. I had a song called Big Bank Robbery where I kind of talked. It was, uh-huh. was the first one that I ever talked in, you know. And like, hey, Scarface, you got your gun? Let's rob this bank and get some money. We'll spend it all and go on a spree. Yeah, man, the big bank robbery. Kind of rock and roll.
I see. So you played some rock and roll, or at least it was considered rock and roll when you were younger, right?
Sometimes I play some, like a whole lot of shaking, and I don't go that way too much. I'm not crazy about rock and roll.
No. I know Buck Owens, he was on Hee Haw a lot. Were you ever on that?
I was never on it because me and Sam Lovello never got along. He was ran the show and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So Buck had asked me one time if I wanted to be on there. I said, no, I don't want to. I don't get along with Sam Lovello. I don't know.
Oh.
I didn't even know him. I just didn't like some stuff he'd pulled on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You
know. Well, what kind of stuff was that?
Oh, I can't remember now.
Yeah. Did you do a lot of other things to support yourself besides playing music when you were, or did you only play music once you stopped working in the fields? Because I noticed you wrote a lot of songs about truck driving.
Yeah.
Did you ever drive a truck?
Never. I drove an ice cream truck.
Oh, you drove
2 weeks, made $19. There'd be four or five kids come up behind me there, and then one of them would have money. The other one didn't have money. I'll give him the ice cream in it.
So how'd you learn about truck driving? Did you learn it from...
Well, that was an accident. Bill Woods used to sing Truck Driving Man a lot, and I learned how to do that. And Then when they signed me with Capitol, they wanted me to do truck driving songs because I had a kind of a bass voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then it's about gone now.
I remember that. Did you ever know Dave Dudley?
Dudley was a great friend of mine.
Was he? Yeah.
Sure
was.
In fact, he recorded one of my songs that I wrote when I was a black boy called The Bull Shippers.
Oh, really?
This old rig that I'm driving ain't the sharpest on the road, and these old bulls that I'm hauling ain't perfume. But if it wasn't for a lot of truck drivers just like me, who'd bring those T-bone steaks to you?
Yeah.
Dave Dudley, Red Sylvine, I knew him too, uh-huh. And Dick Curlis from Bangor, Maine. He was all four of us were in West Virginia, Wheeling, West Virginia, for a truck driving show one night. Red Savine, Dick Curlis, Dave Dudley, and me. And I wound up in New York the next day with Dave Dudley. He hijacked me down there.
Wow. So you played all over the country then?
Right? Oh, yeah. I've been to Amsterdam,
wow.
Germany, France, England.
How did they like country music when
Well,
you
they love
there?
It over there.
Do they?
They want me to come back, but it's too far for me to go anymore.
Yeah. Where's the best place you ever played?
Best place? Right here, home.
Yeah. Which club?
All of them. I liked them all.
Yeah.
They were... First job I ever got was by a friend of mine who played trumpet. His name was Cliff Crawford. He wrote a lot of songs, too, and he had a lot of Walter Brennan records. He had a record he wrote called Old Rivers that Walter Brennan recorded. And the first... paying job I really ever got, like Merle called them, whiskey jobs. And you got the beer jobs. That's like $15 a night. Well, this Cliff called me one time and said I'd like to use you on the guitar up at Jack Ranch, but towards Springville up there. Mm-hmm. And I went up and worked. Well, I was hooked in. This is got to be it.
Was that a party or what? Where you were playing?
It was a dance there. Once every week.
Yeah. Did they have a lot of dances around town besides the in the clubs? Were there dances?
Oh, yeah. You go out to Punkin' Center. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of Cousin Eb out there, his band, and And there was people every Saturday night. There were people out at the clubs. They fight and everything else.
Oh yeah,
drink beers.
Right. So some of it got pretty wild, didn't it?
They did too, yeah. At the Blackboard. I remember those days. I remember one time Hell's Angels came in there, and the leader of the Hell's Angels told Bill Woods, he said, "If there's any trouble in here, don't worry about it. I'll take care of all of it." So if anything popped up, well, he was right there to stop it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The leader, big old boy.
So he kept things under control there sometimes, huh?
Yeah. It was a little wild back then. Yeah. If you wanted to fight, that'd be a place to go.
Yeah, at the Blackboard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them. You could get a fight in all of them if you didn't watch yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Can you describe working with Merle Haggard, your experience working with Merle Haggard?
Merle Haggard was great to work for. He always paid me, and I just opened the shows for him. I'd do about 15, 20 minutes, and then he'd come on. I remember one time back in Tennessee, I had tonsillitis. And I was sick as a dog. I couldn't even hardly get out of bed. And we had the bunk beds on the bus, and Merle told me, he said, "Just stay in there, Red. You're too sick to go work." Mm-hmm. So still got paid.
Well, that's good, yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah. And you opened for him for a number of years? Or?
No, it was about 8-10 months, I guess. Mm-hmm. But same thing with Buck. I worked with Buck, opened his shows for quite a while. Mm-hmm. We worked at Carnegie Hall one time. And
what was that like?
Scary.
I bet.
I never seen so many big buildings and weird people.
Is that the only time you've been to New York, or did you ever?
No, I've been through there a lot. Mm-hmm. I go all over the country. I was up in North Fork, Virginia.
No, Virginia.
Not long ago, did a show up there. I did four shows in Austin, Texas.
Oh, nice.
And then one of those was a Buck's Bash, or Buck's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And then I worked in Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, Phoenix. I used to work Phoenix a lot. And just guest star, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Are there some musicians you helped with their careers?
Did what?
Some musicians that you helped start their careers. Because I know that you said that Bill Woods and other people kind of influenced you. Did you help some other people?
I helped everybody I could, you know. That, nobody ever made records or anything. It's just people wanting a job or whatever I could do, I'd help them out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wasn't nothing.
Yeah. So who influenced you the most? You said Bill Woods. Were there other musicians that influenced your music?
Ernest Tubb. Mm-hmm. All the big singers from Nashville, that, you know, Hank Snow. And I was taken by all of them, sort of. I'm still helping people around town here. I play at Trout's every Monday night, and I have singers there. My boy here, his name is David. He's singing now. He's starting to sing.
Oh, good.
He found out how easy it was. He's doing good, though.
So did you always like to perform? I mean, when you were a kid,
I was a kid. I used to take my guitar to school and play over there and sing for the kids.
Yeah.
And
so you never had any nervousness about getting up in front of people and singing or anything?
Oh, I had a few times I did, but it kind of wore off, you know.
Yeah.
You just get up with a guitar and people just, they applaud, give you applause and everything, and that kind of clears it up, you know.
Yeah, I bet. So do you see any differences between the country music of today and the country music of yesterday?
Oh, I see a lot of difference, yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Well, it's mostly all Nashville now, and hip-hop, rock and roll, and The country is not like it used to be.
How did it used to be? What's the
oil on the stub and stuff like that?
Were the subjects different? Subjects they sang about?
Yeah. It's a lot different now than it was. I don't know. I just don't like it no more.
No.
That's why I play Keep It Country at Trout's every Monday.
Yeah.
That's Trout's.
Trout's has been a venue in Bakersfield for a long time, hasn't it?
I've been at Trout's since 1991.
Is that right? Yeah.
And Rasmussen Senior Center over here. I play there every Tuesday.
Do you? Okay.
And then I still go out on the road doing shows wherever. Mm-hmm. I was just up at North Fork, Bass Lake, California. Had a big show up there. And I still go out on the road once in a while.
That's great.
Of course, I don't have a bus, but because they got airplanes.
But you do have a band that goes with you? Or you?
No, I just work with the house bands that's there.
I see.
Because I'm used to it, you know.
Did you ever have a band of your own?
Not really. Well, on the ship I did, on USS Repose. I formed a little band there called the USS Repose Ramblers. And we used to play on the ship up on the top deck up there. We'd play country music up there. And sometimes I'd go over and play Corey and Orphan Homes, EM clubs, officers clubs, all kind of clubs, you know.
Just, oh, yeah, when you were in the Navy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever play any place like that after you got out of the Navy? Like on in military bases and things like
that?
Yeah,
I did a show down here at the Veterans in L.A. One time. And I still do whatever they want me to do.
So do you think the lifestyle for country musicians has changed very much?
Well, it changed quite a bit, but most people around Bakersfield, I think, still are good country people. You know? Of course, there's a lot of dank.
Right.
They got rock and roll and too much rock and not enough roll. I don't know.
What's the best and worst parts of your life as a country musician? What are the best and worst parts of your life as a country musician?
The best was getting on Capitol Records, putting out some of my own albums. And some of the worst were some of the jobs I didn't get.
Oh, well, I see. Yeah. So which of your songs is your favorite song?
Favorite song? I don't have a favorite. I don't even know how many I wrote, but I wrote a lot of them. I just wrote one that was recorded by a guy in Nashville, Bob Wayne. He wrote one that I just wrote called "A Dope Train." The Devil's Dope Train is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
He just put that out.
What's that about?
About 2 minutes.
No.
I'm putting, I said, don't get on the dope train, don't get on the dope train, don't get on the dope train that travels around the world. If I can remember it all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this train to take you on a trip. Because it travels all around the world, enticing boys, little boys and girls, you know, enticing men and women and little boys and girls. It'll take your home and family, and then it'll take your pride. Just trust in the Lord and don't get aboard. You don't want to ride the dope train. I can't remember it all.
Okay. Now, that song, is that based on some experience you had? Or?
It's just about dope and stuff. People...
You've seen a lot of, but I know a lot of musicians, they have trouble with those, with substances,
I've seen,
different
seen
kinds.
A lot of people get ruined over ruined or ruined, one.
Okay, those are pretty much my questions. Let me see if I have anything else here. Is there anything else about the music scene in Bakersfield you could tell me that that we might not have mentioned? That when you were playing in the...
I I don't think so.
Okay. Is there anything else you can tell me that I haven't asked you about your life or country music or anything that you want to talk about anymore? Because I really want to, you know, it's be my opportunity to talk to you. And I,
yeah.
These are the questions I had, but I still, there's still.
That's about it, I think.
Okay. And one other question is, you know, we're doing this project on the Bakersfield Sound, trying to get musicians. Are there some names of people that you would recommend I talk to around here?
Yeah, Tommy Hayes.
Okay.
I've got a number on him somewhere.
All right.
I can remember it. Tommy Hayes. I got a number on him. I know I do. I'm facing here if I can find it. He plays all these jobs around town now.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Dust Bowl days too.
Oh, did you? Out of Weed Patch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just played that not long ago. Tommy Hayes, 589-5500.
Okay.
Call him up and talk to him. He'll give you an interview.
Okay, great. Anybody else?
No, I think of.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Red. I appreciate your time.
It's all right. That's it, huh?
I think that's it, unless we have anything else to say.
You want some coffee or anything?
Sure, I'll take a little coffee. That'd be great.
Coke?